Hello, if you find me on this episode, thank you very much for coming along. If you've been directed here through my newsletter, thank you very much for reading each week. I have started this newsletter and I've tried to keep it weekly, sending an email on Friday morning. So if you're a reader of that, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. You tuning in, and of course if you've made your way to this episode as well, it's greatly appreciated. But this episode is on four lessons from my career so far, so not really a technical episode, it's more a reflection on my career to date. And if you're not sure who I am, my name's Sam. I'm a marine scientist. I work as a consultant. So if you're not sure what a consultant is, basically you do work for other organisations or companies that are looking to do something and they require your expertise or skills to do whatever they're doing. So in my case, it's mostly to do with making sure any development in the marine environment is done the right way, as sustainably as possible, and environmentally friendly, and if there is any impacts, you look at how to mitigate them and reduce the impact. And yeah, so that's the main thing. Alongside that, I do a lot of environmental monitoring, so checking water quality in particular. It's a thing called turbidity and dissolved oxygen, which is very important in terms of turbidity is a problem when it comes from human activities such as dredging. You need to make sure any reduction on light or any sediments can smother habitats on the seabed, for example, and dissolved oxygen is vital for marine life as well, and is at an increasing, well, it's at a bigger risk now with global warming, with increasing atmospheric temperatures and ocean temperatures, and this drives the amount of oxygen in the water down as well. So it's quite an important topic. And yeah, so I'm a consultant, and the good thing about it is you get to work on a load of different projects. The bad thing about it is you get to work on a load of different projects as well. So you can sometimes be jumping between things back and forth, but I think I work better that way, instead of working on one project. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. The reason that I recorded this podcast was I was in my old university. I got invited back to deliver a lecture to a master's course in Queen's in Belfast, and yeah, it was really nice to be asked back. I was delighted, and it wasn't too long ago I was sitting in the exact same seats the students were sitting in. So I left university in 2018, and yeah, it was a strange experience walking back through the campus and stuff, but it was a nice experience. But anyway, the four lessons that basically this presentation was a career oriented presentation, and at the last slide I had a review of four lessons from my career so far. So I'm just going to go through them now. And yeah, so I suppose if you're not even in marine science field, or just I suppose any environmental science role, or maybe you're in another career and might find it useful, and I do think it's good to share that sort of experience to people who are maybe on their own journey, and I hope it helps. So the first one is, I had written down, be aware of pigeonholes. So pigeonholes are, it was only when I started working I heard about pigeonholes, and it was my manager at the time made me aware of them. And now, pigeonholes is when you get stuck doing the same work over and over again. I'm not saying this is what you shouldn't do, because I know some people don't mind that, and it suits their personality to do the same work, and they become really, really good at it, and they become niched down. And it's fine, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think coming from the point of view of Well, A, if you're not sure what you want to do, or perhaps you're of a type of personality that you like trying new things and you want to develop maybe a better all-rounded skill set and maybe on your CV have a wider experience and have a wider range of skills as well. I think pigeonholing is something you should avoid doing. And well, yeah, so that's why I think you shouldn't do it. And how do you get around it? It's quite difficult because I think if you're left to your own devices, or perhaps if you're left to, if you let other people decide what you want to work on and you don't maybe voice your opinion on what you like or enjoy, you could just find yourself, it's easier for maybe senior staff or whoever's managing whatever sort of company or research organization you're in, kind of just all you just get put on the same task because you're good at it, and all of a sudden it becomes quite, you know, it's easy for you to do it, so therefore you do it, and then you're kind of stuck in it. Could be, you could perceive it as a rut, but like I said earlier, some people might find that fine. So yeah, that was the first one, be aware of pigeonholes. And I've personally got around this. Well, I actually went to the extent of, maybe I shouldn't say this. I went to the extent of moving jobs as well. And it wasn't because, sorry, I suppose this isn't a bit of a, no, this isn't relevant entirely, but I was doing a certain type of work that I knew I didn't really want to chase any further, and I couldn't get out of it in the current or the company I was working with. So another opportunity came up, and I jumped across. So, and this is another thing when you in an organization like that as well, you always hear about people talking about climbing the ladder, and it doesn't really sit well with me, to be honest. I don't have any desire of climbing any sort of ladder, apart from my own personal ladder. I don't even know where that ladder goes, so watch your space. But I think it's better. I've heard it being described as a lattice. So if you know what a lattice is, it goes side to side, up and down. So don't be afraid to go side to side. If you need to change your path at some stage, don't be afraid to do so. You'll not regret it. And I know it makes people uncomfortable, and people, you feel like, for me, I felt like I was letting people down. And I'd just say you get over that very quickly, and people move on very quickly as well. So don't let that stop you. Right, so I'll draw the line under pigeonholes there. Next point is I have make your face known. I suppose this is what I'm doing right now. You're listening to me on a podcast. I'm making my face known, but I don't mean it like that. I mean, a couple of examples, i.e., I suppose the simple one is networking. If you're at a conference or a technical talk, and it doesn't matter who you talk to, you don't need to like find the most prestigious or well-known person in the room and try and shake their hand and say hello. You just need to start talking or smile and say hello to the person sitting beside you. And the amount of times I've done that and got into a conversation, and before you know it, you're not their best mate, but you know a lot about them, you know where they work, and they introduce you to someone else in the room, that and it just spirals from there. So I think if you're a shy person, I would I used to be quite shy. I don't really care anymore. Interestingly enough, I would talk, I suppose I wouldn't talk to a wall, but if you're I think I've got that point. I don't like awkward silence. I'd sit and talk to try and avoid that. But in a conference, I'd try and say hello and chat to people, find out a bit about them. And that's what they want. They don't want to be, if you go to a situation like that, that's what people want to do. They don't want to stand there in silence. So just take the initiative and start the conversation, and you'll never know where it'll end up. The other thing on this about making your face known is, I suppose at the start of my career journey, at the end and at the end of university, I have to thank members of my family for pushing me into this. But because I think as a lazy student I wouldn't have done it, but they encouraged me to go and do some work experience, and it was unpaid. But I went in to a company, and they basically I showed my face and met people, met really good people, and still friends with them today. And I don't think, if I hadn't taken that, you know, uncomfortable step of going into somewhere, well, firstly, unpaid, it was only a couple of weeks, it didn't break a bank, I had a part-time job at the time, but I took the step, leap of going in as a little fresh-faced student and just getting stuck in, really. And I think that's another thing, like, doesn't mean, it's not always talking, it doesn't always mean talking to someone at a conference. It could mean just getting your face known in whatever industry you want to work in, and lead into it and push yourself into it. And it almost didn't, for example, that work experience I did, it didn't almost work out, but then it did work out. So yeah, you just never know, and I think it's a good thing to do. Is there anything else on making your face known? I think that's it. I'll draw the line there under that one. So number three is, don't expect the dream job straight away. So I suppose I've touched on this already a wee bit now. So I'm working exclusively on marine projects and coastal projects at the minute. It wasn't always like that. I had to jump between, I worked straight out of uni, I worked on a road scheme as an environmental manager. And obviously it was like working in the realms of the environment industry, it was fine, but it wasn't my ideal or dream job. But I think once I got settled and kind of started getting a bit of confidence and learning what projects are coming down the line, so I knew there was projects involved like around the yeah, so basically different projects came in through the door, and I just kept my eyes peeled for the marine environment ones or coastal jobs, and just got involved in them, put them on my CV, and kind of just built it up from there. And then the job I'm in now came up and I applied, and if I hadn't done all that work beforehand and got that experience on my CV, I probably would never have got the job I'm in now. So I'm looking back, I'm glad I did that. And yeah, so I think if you're not in the situation, the ideal situation or where you want to be right now, I think, well, first thing is be patient, you know, don't make yourself really unhappy because of it. Like, you're probably, well, I don't know your situation, but just look at the positives of the situation you're in now, take what you can learn from it, and then make sure you write it all down on your CV or whatever you're doing, and come up with a plan so you can slowly but surely just work your way into a niche or job that you want to work in, or you could see yourself working in. And you never know, you could get into that job and then realize it's not for you, and then you need to work your way back out of it again, or take a backward step, you know, who knows. Don't expect the dream job straight away. So that's number three. And then number four was, keep tabs on new policies and laws. So I'm okay at doing this. I get emails in the mailbox and updates and stuff like that. But the problem is I have if anyone has Gmail, you can set Google alerts. So if anything comes up in Google with a certain keyword, it'll send you an email basically of the things that come that are included in that. The keyword is included in, such as I have it set for all different stuff, but problem is I don't keep tabs on it. My inbox just fills up with emails and emails. But that's just a wee tip. If you're good at reading emails, I suggest you do that. But keep tabs on new policies and laws. So in terms of the environmental industry and sphere of things, this policy and law is kind of driving most of our work at the minute now. So if there wasn't environmental law or policies, there'd be far less work for environmentalists to do. And yeah, so I suppose by keeping tabs on it, you could perhaps see what work or opportunities or funding will be coming down the line. Now, it is ironic, I was talking to a couple of people today about the issue of wastewater infrastructure, and they were saying the funding and their on their side of the house was getting slashed, which I suppose doesn't really make sense in this today's world, but sure, there you go. So it's not always the case, but I suppose it is still important. And what I was saying to the students I was presenting to was their master's was on climate change, and climate change is obviously a big topic right now, and it's also getting woven into a lot of things, such as requirements for, you know, like say carbon management plans, for example. Like if you do a project, you need to consider the emissions from a project, not even just from the actual structure. Say if it's offshore wind farm, it's not even the, you know, transport emissions. You're actually looking at the emissions released during the construct or the manufacturing of the turbines and blades and all that sort of stuff. So that's actually called embodied carbon. So if you're interested, I suggest you Google that. It'll explain a lot more about embodied carbon. But that's what I was saying to them. So it's starting to take off, and I suppose they're maybe sitting in a good position with their degree that they can take up one of those many things that are appearing. I suppose like jobs like mine, I don't know, maybe it'd be interesting actually to look that up to see how many sort of environmental jobs were available maybe 40 years ago. You know, I imagine it was far less and compared to today, and then it would be even more interesting to have a glimpse into the future to see what it's like, because I personally think the amount of law and stuff and people trying to keep up with it, just and the requirements on people as well, and companies and organizations, it's just there's only more of it coming down the line, I think. So in terms of employment, I think there's plenty of opportunities now. That's me and my optimistic hat on, and I'll keep it on. So there we go. So that's the four lessons. So be aware of your pigeonholes, make your face known, don't expect a dream job straight away, keep tabs on new policies and laws. So I hope you find that useful. I haven't actually uploaded a podcast on here in a while, so I thought I would make a change. I'm just doing this on my phone and headphones, and I think the quality is okay. I hope it is. But yeah, if you're not subscribed to my newsletter, I do include a section at the end. So the last couple of weeks, I'd say the last 8 weeks or so, I've included an interview with someone working basically in a blue job, i.e. trying to make our coasts and oceans better. And I think I've covered a good range of people, and I will try and do that a bit more again. And hopefully people have enjoyed reading the bios of people. And it's ranged from researchers, consultants, and yeah, so there's been a real mix of people on that, and I've enjoyed doing it, and people have been really great coming back to me and replying and answering my questions. So that's all included in the weekly email. And then also I have a section on a sort of marine science lesson, so it could be anything to do with marine science, biology, chemistry, physics, whatever, it's whatever I'm kind of learning about at the time. And then also a little bit on sustainability, so if you're part of an organization, how you can be more sustainable, or also case studies of restoration work as well, which just basically like, you know, the practical side of how like maybe a case study or a project, how people are helping our marine environment. So yeah, that's just a wee breakdown of what you can expect in the newsletter. So I will let you get on with the rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you soon. Thank you.